Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Friday, January 30th, 2015. And with me today, I have my political experts. Dave Hamilton, how are you?
Politically incorrect, as always.
And I wouldn't have it any other way. Brian Chaffin, how are you?
I'm doing well, but I'm going to point out that once again, you are in deep trouble based on the advisors and experts that you were picking in your life, sir.
Story of my life, Brian. As I've said before, someday my life is going to make an amazing Showtime special.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. All right. Well, here we are on an awesome Friday. The reason I wanted both of you guys here today is because I know that you will have some really good insight into the topics that I wanted to hit. And the first is actually something you wrote about yesterday, Brian. And this is the news that Apple and Samsung essentially got the same number of smartphones out into the market last quarter.
Yeah, isn't that funny? Isn't that funny? Remember Samsung? They were the guys that were killing Apple, and because Apple couldn't innovate.
That's right.
They were
also the ones that had a large screen iPhone or not a large screen iPhone, but a large screen phone before Apple too.
They did, and that was it's really from a human. Okay. I love watching people. I love seeing trying to understand how people are thinking and what makes them think. And especially when it comes to Apple, you know, we've been doing the Apple death knell counter now for more than a decade. It's been a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so many people were saying that Samsung was out innovating Apple and that Apple couldn't innovate anymore. And it was all really because of the large screen Android devices that Samsung did in fact bring to market before anyone else. And there was obviously demand for that. And they were popular. But the thing about it is that That's the only thing that Samsung did that actually worked. Samsung is one of these companies that throws spaghetti at the wall, just hoping to see which one sticks so they can actually do something with it. And that's the one thing that Samsung has done that has stuck. Everything else that Samsung has done is not stuck. And I wrote, I don't know, I want to say it was a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years ago, I wrote that at some point Apple will erase this one single advantage that Samsung has, and at that point, where's the innovation going to be? And we're seeing the results of that right now. Apple finally brought a large screen device to market, and it was apparently the right device at the right time, and people are buying it in droves, and that's taking away the high-end sales that Samsung had. And then you've got Xiaomi and HTC chipping away at the low end and the middle end of the market. Middle end. You know what I'm saying? Work with me here.
Right.
We're working with you.
Yeah, we're working with you. We're also waiting to see if you're going to be able to get that sorted out on your own.
No, probably not.
We're still working with you.
Okay, fair enough. So it's Samsung has always been the flavor of the month. It was a lot of months. But Apple, I believe, will this year pass Samsung as the number one maker again, and Samsung will be duking it out at the low end with Xiaomi and HTC, and maybe LG will suddenly be popular. Who knows? But it's just I don't know. There's the Samsung doesn't matter. There's no individual hardware maker on the Android side that matters because they're just hardware makers,
right?
Well, the thing that I find really interesting out of these numbers is the fact that when they're saying Apple and Samsung shipped the same number of smartphones for the quarter, for Samsung, that really means shipped. For Apple, that means sold.
Yeah, it means actually sold, yeah.
So that means that Samsung very likely did not sell as many smartphones as Apple did.
Well,
Previous quarters, right? They didn't change their reporting methods, right? So, I think.
Yeah. Okay. So maybe they did, but some of those numbers are coming from product that was stuffed into the channel in previous quarters.
Well, correct. There were Samsung devices that were sold during the December quarter that Samsung had already gotten credit for shipping.
That's right. Now the three of us have said the same thing three different ways.
I think we can come up with another one?
We probably can. We're
probably
really good.
Probably. let's not and say we did.
All right.
This is interesting. And I'm curious to see where we go 6 months from now, right? And what will be really interesting is as we get into this year's Q4, right? When presumably Apple and Samsung will have new devices out and how that plays out into everything. Because though this was Apple's first Apple had the large screen devices, now this is their first step down that path. And apps really, even today, I would say apps aren't quite yet ready for these larger devices. I think we'll still see some innovation, a lot of innovation on that. Cases aren't ready for these. One of the big things I saw at CES was how many people now, other companies, as we know, have been making large screen handheld, phones, phablets, if you want.
I want. Jeff does not want.
Right, I know.
But I want that for sure. Fablets.
It's a phablet. That's what it is.
It's like you guys hate me.
We do. It's because we do. We're very
transparent. But it's a love hate.
It's a loving hate.
It's just like home.
It's a loving hate.
but I saw more innovation with regards to what people are doing for phablets than. I left CES excited about cases. That's insane, right? Mm. I mean, I can't even believe I'm saying that. And a lot of them are things that were shown to me, behind closed doors or off the record or whatever. But there's some cool stuff coming, and nobody has it perfect yet, right? But that's the best part is, this one company has this aspect right. This one company has that aspect right. A year from now, once these get out into the market and people get to touch them and play with them and see what works and what doesn't, it they're different devices. And now, next holiday quarter, now it's not a larger phone that people are buying. People understand this is more than that, right? And the market's ready for that, at least on the Apple side. But again, I haven't seen the innovation on the large side with the Samsung cases. They just because you can't. There's so many different models and everything that you it doesn't make sense to go nuts and innovate that way.
I was meeting with the company yesterday, as a matter of fact.
And
they're doing something that's neat. It's certainly getting some consumer interest. And they told me that they'd received 100 different emails asking for them to bring this product to the Android side. And he said that represented at the very least 10 different products.
Right.
10 different form factors.
That's hard for a manufacturer.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, it's totally true. I mean, the top selling Android devices are always going to have at least some cases.
Sure. But companies have to be right on top of that because those new top-selling Android devices change pretty much quarterly.
Yeah, that's true too.
So, yeah, whatever they make, it has a really short shelf life.
That's true. Apple gives their – I mean, I'm sure Apple doesn't do this because of this, but they do because of their product cycle wind up giving – vendors, effectively a year or more is the current model, but typically there's even more shelf life than that, right? Because you can always buy the older version of the phone and get it cheaper. And so there's, they give
and
them
Apple
a
typically
long,
keeps
a long
the same
haul.
Body style for 2 years. Right.
Well, that not really anymore, but
all right. Historically
they did. Yeah. They did up until the iPhone 5C came out, right? Although I guess the 5S was the same as the 5. So yeah, you're right. That remains to be seen whether that will continue. It probably will, though.
It seems likely just because it's held up for as a good strategy for Apple for the past few years.
Yeah, I wish that they made the iPhone 6 thicker and put more battery in.
Have you met Apple?
It didn't need to get thinner. Yeah, I know the people there. I've told them that too, and they look at me like my head's screwed on backwards. You should have just kept it the same thickness and had more battery. Like, huh?
That's crazy talk.
Yeah.
These are strange words you use.
Yeah, that's right. They look at me like I'm speaking Russian.
You get that a lot.
I do.
Нет.
Нет.
Yes, правда.
All right, so I'm curious to see how next quarter's numbers look for both Apple and Samsung, and then what we're looking at when we get back to Q1 2016, because, well, at that point we've had another year worth of sales for both companies, and I'm betting there's going to be a lot of turmoil and changes in the market over the next year. So the second topic that I wanted to hit is a piece that I'm actually working on right now. So for our listeners, you won't have a link to it right away in the show notes, but it will be coming. And this is the news that there's a new bill that's been presented to the United States Senate that's essentially a tax amnesty bill that will give companies like Apple.
Why are they attacking amnesty?
They're just angry people.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyhow, so this bill would give companies like Apple a tax break.
I see.
And I'm not going to laugh, because if I do, I'm going to encourage you.
I don't even understand why he's saying those words.
Because he keeps saying it attacks, and it sounds to be like attacking.
I do understand why you're saying those words. What I'm saying is I don't understand why.
I see.
Yeah. Anyhow, so this bill would supposedly give companies like Apple incentive to bring money into the United States that they're holding offshore. And they would get tax breaks for doing this. The tax money that gets collected from these funds coming into the country would then be used to help build up the highway infrastructure. So, you know, this sounds like a good deal all the way around, but there will be restrictions on how companies can use the money they bring back in. So they won't be able to use it, say, to buy back stock or to give executives bonuses. And I'm just curious what you guys think about this bill.
Well, this has been a perpetual issue for the last several decades, for one thing, countries compete with each other to offer lower tax rates, and for corporations in particular, people tend to be left out of that equation because companies can more easily shop their countries than people can. And companies tend to have more money than most people. So, you know, again, it's this has always been aimed at the corporate world. But the reality is that the tax codes of most countries, especially the U.S.'s, incentivize companies to never bring their money home because they don't have to pay taxes on it until they do. So right. If you don't bring that money home, you don't pay tax on it. This is the law of the land. This is the law of the U.S. Our tax code encourages Apple to keep its money elsewhere, to never bring it home. This isn't tax dodging because Apple is not shipping money outside of the U.S. It's just never bringing it home.
They never made it here in the first place. So we're not talking about revenues that come from, say, when you or I, who both live in the U.S., buy an iPhone. It's when someone in Europe or Japan or anywhere outside of the U.S. buys an iPhone, the money just doesn't come in to the country.
And this is – the whole thing is made infinitely more complicated and more profitable for companies by carefully shopping their overseas operations in the tax-friendliest countries. Ireland has, for instance, been a leader in this area where they allow companies to set up and not pay taxation because they were looking for some high-paying jobs to come into the country. So Apple ends up there's a lot of tax – again, I'm not going to call it dodging. It's tax avoidance happening outside the U.S. as companies like Apple and Google and Facebook and everybody else busily shunt revenues from you know one aspect of their company to another, and they do it through these tax-friendly countries. But that's actually separate from the issue that's happening with the U.S., which where again, tax code incentivizes companies to never bring it back in the first place. So we have these periodic efforts to give companies some form of tax break to bring that money back home. And the last time this happened, and do you, either one of you remember when that was? Was that like 1998 or 2005? It was a long time ago.
It was several years ago. And it ended up not doing what the government had hoped for.
No, yeah. The it was sold from the standpoint of, oh, my God, these companies are going to bring this money back and they're going to invest it in infrastructure and R&D and you know invest it in the future. And these companies brought all that money back home and immediately paid it out to shareholders and executives.
Which is what you do when you bring a pile of money home that you clearly didn't need before.
Yeah,
then.
The sales job was a lie. The sales job was because there's a lot of lobbying going on to get a tax repatriation holiday.
Right.
And but you know it was a big lie. And but the thing is that some folks have paid attention to that. And so Jeff Moore, you were explaining that they're looking to put strings on it, right?
Yes. And yeah, the limit, the way companies can use the money that they're bringing in to the country, so they'll be able to do things like R&D. But the types of things that they did before with the money, they won't be able to do. So I'm wondering how much of an incentive is this really going to be for companies like Apple or Google that have the money they need to perform whatever R&D functions they have without bringing money in from the outside?
Well, that's the trick, because if you need the money, you're already bringing it in, right?
Yeah, but no one is.
That's what I'm saying. No one is. The people that don't need it aren't. Right. And so that's the issue is how do we encourage these companies that are totally fine leaving their money where it is to change that?
Well, Apple found it less expensive to borrow money.
Yeah.
To give to shareholders.
Sure.
Than it was
to
actually
loans
bring
for
it back.
Shareholder dividends.
Yeah. Which is, you know, kind of crazy. But it makes complete physical and logical sense.
Sure, because it would have cost them a lot more to bring money into the country to pay out than it did just to pay a pittance of interest in comparison.
Yeah. In a nutshell. So, you know, but if Apple is prevented from giving this money to shareholders, Apple can bring it in and use that money for the things that it uses the money it actually generates in the U.S. and then take that U.S. generated profit and give that to shareholders instead.
So what's the difference?
The difference is you can't
give more than you earn here.
Correct. But right now, yeah. Apple does need some of the money that it generates here to do things.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. So the result
will
be
offset that, right?
That, yeah, Apple is still going to be able to give money back to its shareholders, but this time they'll be able to do so without borrowing it. It's all going to be robbing Peter to pay Paul, except for Peter and Paul's money will all be in the United States. So, yay.
Well, I don't see Apple doing this unless the taxes they pay are equal to or less than the interest they pay on a loan. Otherwise,
yes.
It's not fiscally responsible.
That's
yes
right.
or no. It depends. Yeah, I think there's probably a point where there's a lot of political capital to be gained by actually bringing this money back too. So it's not a straight mathematical equation.
But it's close.
It's a factor.
Yeah.
I would assume it's a big factor.
I mean, you guys remember what Tim Cook told
Wall Street. Yeah.
It's like, we follow – no, what he told the senators. Senators who were trying to grill Apple as if Apple was doing something that was illegal, which Apple was not. And Tim Cook said, we follow the law. If you don't like that, change the law. If you don't like what we're doing, change the law.
Change the law. That's it.
Yeah. This whole business with Ireland, with the U.S., with the companies that use the Cayman Islands, all these things, it's all a product of the law. Almost all of it is entirely 100% illegal. Excuse me.
Legal.
The exact opposite of that. It's almost entirely 100% legal. And
there's some part of this that is illegal, though?
Oh, of course. There's always been companies that have dodged taxes.
Not talking about Apple specifically. You're just talking about the general group of companies that are dodging taxes. Most of them are doing so legally.
Correct. Well, they're not dodging. They're avoiding.
Yeah, right. Yes.
Tax dodging is illegal. Tax avoidance is sensible.
Is sensible. No, okay. I just wasn't sure who your target was.
No, I think that Google, Apple, Facebook, I don't know, Intel maybe. I think that most of the Silicon Valley tech giants that do tax avoidance, I imagine that all of them are doing everything perfectly legal, and if there is anything illegal, that it's accidental. And I don't think Apple is doing. I think Apple has actually the best team on the planet for doing this stuff. But there are a lot of companies, and there's a lot of money does bad things to people.
Sure.
Yes, it does. And I'm wondering if Apple if the United States changes its tax laws, then what difference will that make in the grand scheme of things if we have countries like Ireland that have a really good thing going for themselves? They don't want to change their tax laws.
Well, in the case of Ireland, the EU is going to make them. The EU is pissed off because companies like Apple use Ireland to avoid paying taxes in other EU countries.
Ireland's pretty feisty.
Yeah.
I could see an ugly fight coming out of that if the EU pushed it.
Wields a big cudgel, though. Or cudgel, even. From kicking Ireland out of the EU, which would be terrible for Ireland, to possibly leveling sanctions on Ireland, dealing with the EU-related stuff. I think that the Ireland is eventually going to have to change some aspects of what it's been doing. But then the reality is that someone else outside of the EU will step up to the plate.
Sure. Yeah. If it's not Ireland, it'll be someone else. Yeah.
Yep.
All right. So now,
good
now
times.
Yeah. So now we're back to what I was thinking as we began this segment, which is we have this bill, so not a law, but a bill that probably isn't going to get passed. And even if it does, it's probably not going to be very effective.
Well, why do you think it won't get passed?
I think that that just the political climate right now is not favorable to this bill becoming a law.
Wait, hold on a second. You're saying that under an extraordinarily business-friendly Democratic administration and under the newly anointed extra business-friendly Congress that this bill can't pass? This bill will pass.
Not in the form it's currently in. I think that before it passes that – we will see a change to the way that strings are being applied or pulled. No, the strings are being attached. There we go.
I would imagine that this Congress will want to take the strings away.
Sure. Yeah, I could totally see that happening. And if there are no strings, then this bill would have a much higher likelihood of passing.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Hey, we're out of time. So, yeah, I guess we have to wrap up. Brian, it's been awesome having you here today.
Indeed. Thanks for having me, man. It's been a good week.
Yes, it has. And Dave, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us, too.
As always, fun stuff.
Yes, indeed. And thank you to all of our listeners for hanging out with us for yet another week. And we will see everyone again on Monday.